Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Okay, welcome to New Life Live. Steve is not here today. This is Larry Sonnenberg. I'm sitting in for him. And we've got a special show. Number one, it's live on a Friday, which is unusual for us. And Dr. Sherry Keffer is here with me.
Great to be with you.
And along with us, we have a special guest. His name's Ken Harrison.
Hey, thanks,
and
Larry.
Ken is an author. He wrote a great book. It's called Rise of the Servant Kings. We'll talk about that a little. Ken is also the chairman of Promise Keepers. And Promise Keepers is making a comeback. We'll talk about that as well. But we want you to call. You know, if you have, where did I have this line I wanted to say? If you're struggling with being the man you think you want to be, that God wants you to be, or if you haven't kept your promise, or your maybe even your marriage vows, or if you're a woman that wants to know more about men and why they do what they do and why they don't do what they should do, give us a call. We want to hear from you. Ken will have some words. Sherry will share with you. But Ken, I want, you know, the title of your book, Rise of the Servant Kings. Tell us, you know, well, I read this book this last week. It's a very, very good book, great book. How could you summarize that in a sentence or two? What's your book about? Why would I read it if I don't know anything about you or what it's all about?
Well, I think men have lost their identity. They don't understand what it means to be a man anymore. And older women are commanded to teach the younger women in the Bible, mm-hmm. and older men are commanded to teach the younger men, and that's not happening. And I've seen this deep, deep hunger in younger men for older men just to teach them Scripture. And so this is a no-nonsense. This is exactly who God intends for you to be, with some pretty in-your-face stories.
And you come with some experience that's pretty varied. You were a cop, and your book has a lot of stories about that. You were a successful businessman in real estate. You're a CEO of a company now that gives a lot of money away, too.
Mm, yeah.
And then now you're chairman of Promise Keepers. And how has the manhood theme woven through all those experiences? What have you learned?
Well, we're all called to be disciples and lay down our lives, lay down our rights to ourselves, and men are commanded to do it in a different way than women. And so that's the title, Servant Kings. A man is responsible for everything that's in his charge. And so a single man would be responsible for just the people around him, standing up for justice, being jealous for the name of the Lord, caring for the poor and the oppressed. And why is that different than women? We have the same thing, because a man understands that he's the one who's supposed to take initiative.
There you go.
You see something wrong, you fix it. You don't look around for who else is going to fix it. And then in your marriage, you're supposed to lead your wife, not rule over her, but to lead her and to be the kind of man she would gladly follow. And therefore, again, you lay down your rights to yourself, and you're responsible for the spiritual health of your kids.
You know, Dave Stoop, one of the psychologists on our radio program here at a marriage workshop one time, I heard him say that men, if your marriage is failing, it's your fault. And it's like, wow, that was a strong statement. But he was making that point, I think. You're the leader, and if it's dissolved and fallen apart, you let it happen, and you shouldn't have let it happen.
And I think sometimes, though, men can get complacent and discouraged. You know, I think what you said is right, Ken. They've lost their way. Mm. And yet, as women, we are waiting for men to show up, to lead, to take charge. And I think sometimes women start doing that because there's no one else picking up that ball. And it is so exciting to have read your book and to have you here today and to see what you're doing to call men up to who they're intended to be.
Okay, we'll be back to take some calls and talk a little bit more about all of this, so stay tuned.
God pulled me out of the gutter of my life that I was living in.
I have done a lot of work over the last 40 years. This is the first time I've ever felt love.
I've had such a wonderful weekend here, and for the first time in a long time, I've felt at home.
And the Lord has set me free from my mother's story about me not being good enough.
The New Life Finding Freedom Workshop is coming to Dallas, Texas, September 20th to the 22nd.
We're going
to
talk about forgiveness and codependency. We're going to understand that family of origin, the unhealthy reactions to it. We're going to talk about the cycle of shame and surrender and developing the plan that moves us forward. There'll be 8 teaching sessions and 6 small group sessions.
To register or to learn more about the Finding Freedom Workshop, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I am living a new life, and I believe that I have the resources and tools to continue that.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back. Before we go to calls and talk a little more to Ken, I just wanted to give a real brief report on our matching gift. We are 52% matched. We've raised $169,500. We've got $154,500 to go by July 31. And so if you believe in what you know about New Life, if you believe in the life change that happens, in the things that happen just because people listen on radio, our workshops, our counseling network, if those things touch your heart and you could support that, get behind it, every dollar you give will become $2. So 50 is 100, 100 is 200, 1,000 is 2,000. And we'd appreciate your giving. Just call us at 800-NEW-LIFE and tell them you want to be a part of that giving. So, you know, let's go right to the call, and then in between calls, we're going to talk a little bit more about your book and about Promise Keepers. I'm really excited about Promise Keepers coming back. And I think there's a funny story in that you shared just before we started, too. Okay, let's talk to John. John's in Vancouver, Canada, listens on Sirius XM. Hello, John. How can we help you today?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure enough.
How are you doing?
We're doing good. How about yourself?
Good. Oh, can't complain. Yeah, I got a question for you. I'll just run quickly my situation for you. It's pretty hard to do it really quickly, but I've been separated for 4 years now. My wife and I have got married 36 years ago, so we were married 32 years. We didn't know each other from high school. We met at a youth convention, actually, and got married a couple of years later, raised 3 wonderful sons who are all grown and out of the house. And then probably about 5 years ago, we were out, and my wife said, I'm not happy, and I've checked out of the marriage. And I think at that time, our youngest son had just moved out, so we were basically becoming empty nesters at that point. And then I found out she was kind of leaving for weekends, visiting some unknown friend, and well, it turned out to be she was having a full-blown affair. So I finally clued into that, and that kind of ended. But in the meantime, she was, you know, dating other men as well. And so she finally, and all she wanted to do was leave the house. It took her about a year to finally do that. But so we've been separate for the 4 years since that time. See each other the odd time, and I've forgiven her that first affair. But we just can't seem to. And I've seen a Christian counselor here, you know, off and on in between, just wondering how to handle this sort of thing. And we did go to see him together last November, I think it was, for a three or four hour session and whatnot, just to see about, well, do you want to rebuild or not, whatever sort of thing. And I think the general gist is I would love nothing better than to have our family back together. And I think to a certain degree, my wife would as well. But then I also found out, last time we spoke, she also mentioned that she's kind of sort of seeing someone too. And I just don't have time for that. Like,
so ask, what's like your question?
I have a really hard time. Pardon?
What's your question? What would a question be if you hadn't wanted to ask?
My question is, what do you do? What is the, you know, I mean, I guess I don't know what to do. You know, like my friends, for the most part, and I don't even know about all the cheating and whatnot. They're probably more like Randy or John, just, you know, divorce and move on. But it's not like I'm in a hurry. I'm not dying to, you know, be dating or, but by the same token, I don't want to spend the rest of my life in this situation either, right? So,
what have you been doing?
Yeah,
for these 4 years you're separated, have you been doing any, I mean, what have you guys been doing working towards any kind of solution?
Well, we're not really. We're just kind of going parallel. She lives in her apartment, and we've, you know, like I say, we talk about it, but, she basically will say, well, I don't know if I can ever, you know, I love you, but I'm not in love with you, or I don't know that I can ever love you the way you deserve, sort of thing, and that's the last one. But, you know, she doesn't want to be divorced because, you know, right now I take care of everything, and
okay,
she kind of likes it that way, and probably scared of being on her own completely, but by the same token, she's fearful of reconciling because she might not be, you know, happy again. Or
okay, we get the gist.
You know, does it all over again?
Yeah, Sherry, what are you thinking?
So, hey, you know what? First off, John, let me just tell you, we're so sorry about the affairs. We're deeply sorry about your hurt. You can't be in a marriage for any length of time and have the one you chose to love, the one you made your vow to, the one you committed to protect and honor, be with other men. And I'm heartbroken for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let me start with my first thought. Because, and I'm going to be kind of real and raw with you for a second, because I feel like you sound more like her father than...
Yeah.
A man who is laying down a line and being a boundary maker and really moving, advancing. And if she's not willing to come because you've drawn a line, then making a decision to move forward. It's been 4 years, and she knows you're there. It's kind of like you're standing there, and there's a revolving door of men.
Yeah.
And so there's something in you that I would like to have Ken speak into as far as what it looks like to rise up and, in this case, to be a leader in light of stopping this crazy revolving door. What does it look like to come out of that complacency of waiting for her to wake up? Because she hasn't.
No.
And so, because you need to take a bold step. It's like you're trying to save a woman who is in distress, or, you know, this beauty to rescue, but she doesn't want to be rescued. She just wants you to be there. What do you think?
Can you speak about leadership and accountability? And so... what comes to your mind as you hear John speaking?
Well, John, I say a lot of times we don't know who our identity is in our different relationships. So who is it that I am to my wife, and what is it that she expects from me? What is my offer to her in this relationship? And it sounds like you guys are not on the same page. And frankly, I'll be blunt because it's the only way I know how to be. It sounds like she doesn't respect you that much. And what you need to do is reestablish respectability with her. And so I think... number one, I would go to her and just say, what is it that you want from me? What kind of man is it that you want me to be? Because so often we, as married couples, don't actually ask. And so we run around as husbands with an offer to our wives that she's not asking for. or our wives have an offer to us that we're not asking for, and we assist the other person take who we are, rather than say, well, exactly who is it? That's why you see men who work and work and work to make more and more and more money insisting this is what their wife wants when she's just saying, baby, I just want you to be at home and be with me and be with the kids. I'm okay with you making less money. And so I think in your case, it sounds like you guys are just two ships passing each other, and you need to stop. That's where I'm talking about accountability, not fault, but accountability, and just say, what is it that you need for me to be as a husband to you? And then you need to decide, can I be that man?
Yeah.
John, I want to send you a copy of Ken's book, Rise of the Servant Kings. And I think if you read through that book, you're going to be a changed person if you'll apply the principles and learn from Ken's experience and what he's done and apply that to your life and what you're dealing with your wife. So I just want to thank you for calling and pray that you would take some steps towards what Sherry and John had to say here.
It's the hardest thing to do, to walk away, right? Isn't it? I think as a man, I think men feel like they've failed.
That's right.
If this marriage has failed, they take it on as their identity. And so that nagging lie of I'm a failure, if I walk away. So I'm just going to stand here impotent instead of saying you're not a failure. It takes two to be married. It takes two to be committed, and it takes two to reconcile. And so if he would end up at some point walking away and he's drawn a line in the sand, I would say, okay, walk with your head up high. God gave you permission to go, right? If she's not willing.
And the other thing I would say is, and I didn't say this before, but don't forget the power of prayer. Man, we forget that. And, you know, it says in James, you know, that Elijah prayed it wouldn't rain, and for 3 years it didn't rain. And then he prayed that it would rain, and it rained. And don't forget what one man can do. And boy, I tell you what, God is a giver of life and giver of love. And if we humble ourselves and hit our knees and really pour ourselves out to him with a humble and pure heart, it's amazing what he can do to affect other people's hearts.
I'm working with someone right now, and of course I'll protect them, but they have actually engaged their church, the pastor, and a prayer team right now that are doing that very thing. They came to their house last week, and they're praying for reconciliation and that God would move in both of their hearts. It's powerful. We can do that, right? You don't have to just go to a therapist and that's it. Like, engage your church. Engage people to pray for you.
And the scary thing is, be careful what you ask for, because you just might get it. Because God may open up a way for you to see into your own soul that you won't like very much. And sometimes that's the thing we need. We pray and pray for that other person, and all of a sudden we go, oh, maybe it's me.
Yeah.
That's why I want to say thank you for being blunt. You said, I'm going to be blunt, and feels like she doesn't respect you. And we need to see. We need to have that mirror held up quite often. And that was helpful.
Yeah, can I just jump in here on that too? This is why one of the biggest problems we have is the friendless American male, or maybe the friendless Canadian male, but Vancouver's so close to America.
Yeah.
We need to be in relationship with other men. Amen. So that they can say, dude, man, you got this wrong. And really, before we get to the affairs, we need guys. And I'll tell you, and that's going to be a big push of Promise Keepers, is linking men together. We need to have three or four friends that when our wife leaves us, we lose our job, we go bankrupt, our kid is sick, we got brothers there that will lift us up and hold us up. And so few of us have that anymore.
I want to take that as a segue into Promise Keepers. Tell us what's going to happen next year at Promise Keepers, being coming back to life again here.
Well, you told me a story that you thought was original, and I've heard it about 500 times.
Yeah.
I'm not exaggerating when I say 500 times, which is there's two things about Promise Keepers, and you had both, that really set it off. The first one is the feeling of 70,000 men singing Amazing Grace.
Oh, my gosh.
The power, and I've had guys in tears tell me, I so want to feel that again. And
I get chills right now. My hair's
you do.
Standing
I'm
up.
Watching. You have goosebumps on your arms, Larry.
There's a way the Holy Spirit moves, and when it's all men, there's a vulnerability there. They're not trying to show off for women and whatnot. They're just guys. The second thing is, how many guys have told me who are in their late 30s and early 40s that they went as teenagers with their dads, and that's where they saw their dad so authentic. They saw their dad in tears. That's where their dad grabbed him and said he loved him for the first time, and they want to repeat that with their kids. And you had both those experiences. Mm-hmm. So July 31st and August 1st of 2020, Dallas Cowboys Stadium. It has to be a stadium. Capacity is 82,000 guys. Tickets go on sale on August 1st of this year, one year in advance.
It's going to blow out,
it's
man.
It's going to be amazing. Yeah,
so get your tickets right away.
I took my sons to the Coliseum in L.A.
That was a great one. Tony Evans blew it out on that one.
That was powerful. So anyway, I think the funny thing that made me chuckle is you're the chairman of Promise Keepers, and he told me before we went on the air, he said, I've never been to a Promise Keepers event.
So it's going to
be
your
my first one.
God has a sense of humor that he chooses.
Yes, he does.
But you know what? You are the right guy. I spent a weekend with Ken at a fundraiser for y'all, and just getting to meet you over the weekend, I am moved. I am moved. And you know what? Because I wrote a book called Intimate Deception, Healing the Wounds of Sexual Betrayal. And I'm dealing with families where their husband has compromised, right? Mm-hmm. His sexuality. He's trying to find something of life, and he found it away from his family and wife. And so I am like so looking forward to a fresh move of God, because I'd rather this book not be selling as well as it is right now. Because we got guys that are being faithful and good to their families and wives.
We'll be back after this. We've got more calls to take and more discussion to have. So hold on.
Have you experienced a crushing blow to your world? Do you feel all alone or humiliated? Do you feel inadequate, judged, confused, or devastated? Then I think you need Restore.
Hi, my name is Shelley Martinkus, and I want to personally invite you to the Restore Workshop. If you have been affected by betrayal, I would love for you to come join us.
At Restore, it's a shame-free zone, a safe environment. You'll feel like you have more options. You can rebuild your life with or without him. You'll have more faith in the future and God. I think it's time to invest in yourself.
The Restore Workshop is coming to Dallas, Texas, July 19th to the 21st. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year, after every man's battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back. Dr. Sherry Keffer is here and special guest Ken Harrison. We're going to go back to the phones, but first I just wanted to say that if you make a gift today, we're going to send you a copy of John Townsend's book, People Fuel. And that's our way of saying thank you to you. But so let's just go right back to the calls, and let's talk to Brett. Brett's on line three. Brett, hi. Thanks for calling New Life. How can we help you?
Sure. I've called before, so this is sort of a follow-up from those calls, two calls, and something that you guys said. And I forget who said it at the beginning of the show, but I'll pick.
Yeah, I said it, and Dave Stoop was the one that said it at a workshop. But go ahead and raise your question, and we'll talk about it.
Okay, thank you. It's like a question that is somewhat of like a challenge, because that statement that when a marriage fails, it's always the man's fault. I would like to ask you to use me as an example. So my wife is leaving. She's moving out, separating, with the mind towards a divorce, And I would like to know, how is that my fault? I feel that I've done everything I can possibly do. And this has been a very long time coming. She just will not be apart. She does not want the marriage. I'm quite sure she married me because she wanted children. And when she got them, she was very clear that she didn't want me. Once the children came, she had that. And I was useful if I just, you know, went along with her program. But other than that, she didn't have much use for me. So I would like to ask you, how is that my fault?
Yeah, go ahead, Ken.
Yeah, Brett, I'm really sorry about that. And I would not say it's your fault. Words matter. I majored in English Lit. One of the things I learned is words matter, which is why I got B's, because I wasn't very good with words. But there's accountability and there's fault. I've got a dear friend whose wife married him. She pretended that she became a Christian when they were dating. They got married. She thought she could change him into a non-Christian like her. She couldn't. So after two kids, she left. And he has done everything, just like you say you've done, to keep the marriage together. He's been so godly and so prayerful, and yet she's gone. It's not his fault that she's gone. We talk rather about accountability. So for a man as the leader in the marriage, you're accountable to saying, well, what can I do? How have I done it? Where might I be at fault, and how can I change? But ultimately, I got to tell you, you know, the greatest lover of our souls, Jesus Christ, has people who reject him, who walk away.
That's exactly right. I was going to use that example. Yeah. That is exactly right.
Sometimes you can do everything right. You can be the man of God that you need to be, and they still walk out. That's not your fault. Don't, you know, Satan is the author of false guilt, and he uses it to destroy us, to keep us obsessed. And I know I can hear in your voice, and you're absolutely right. If you've truly been prayerful and sought to do all the right things and she's still leaving and someone says it's your fault, there's a resentment there because, hey, man, there's some false guilt. Don't feel falsely guilty. But I would say, as I said to the last caller, do continue to pray for your wife and seek reconciliation. But ultimately, man, if people can reject Jesus, they can reject us.
And you know,
I agree, and I appreciate that. I mean, if she wanted to come back, if she changed her mind, believe me, nobody would be happier about it than me.
Yeah.
But you know, that is her choice. And as far as accountability, you know, she will not go to church with me anymore. She does not fancy herself a Christian anymore, or ever, maybe. I became a Christian after we were married, in all fairness, so I'm the one who changed. But, you know, I wasn't, that happened, you know, that happened. God kind of comes into your life and changes everything. But, so, I mean, I'm accountable for my family to God and responsible, but if she leaves, I'm no longer accountable for her, as I understand it through the Bible.
Well, Brett, and I have another question for you that I think is going to be probably one of the toughest questions you would ever have to ask a wife who's leaving. But the reason I'm having you ask it is not necessarily for repair, because she's walking out the door. And I'm not going to say that wouldn't happen, but the reason I'm having you ask it is really for enlightenment for you. I would have you ask her in the most kind and gentle way you can. Can you tell me, just because I want to be able to be in a place of knowing that I heard your heart, what is it about me? And I want you to be as brazen and bold as you can be. What is it about me and our relationship that caused you to turn? Was there anything I was doing? Was it how I was treating you? Was there something I was saying? And I'm not saying this, my friend, for you to have shame on you. As I had a husband who had multiple affairs, and so I know what it feels like to have people look at me and say, so what did you do? What was your part in this? And I agree with Ken. I am not an advocate of, you know, it's your fault. But that's for you. What do you think she would say?
Well, I can tell you what she has said when I've asked her that question many times over the years. She does not like that I go to church and that I'm a Christian. She doesn't like that.
Wow.
She and she has not said the second part of the answer, but I intuit and infer this from her behavior, her consistent behavior over the years. She doesn't love me. She married me for a purpose, and that purpose was she wanted to have children. And
I'll pray for you, Brett.
Suitable.
Brett, thank you. Thank you. We're going to send you a copy of this book.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we are back. And special guest Ken Harrison, he's authored Rise of the Servant Kings. And you can get that book online at newlife.com. I'm sure Amazon's got it. If you do Amazon, please do smile at amazon.com and name New Life Ministries as your charity of choice. I think they give like half of 1% of your purchase back to that charity. So we get a check every quarter from Amazon, and it helps a little bit. And you can help us by naming them. But we prefer you come to newlife.com first and buy it there. Ken, before we go to back to the phones, Promise Keepers. It was quite a movement in its early days, and things changed. And you want a movement to come back. Tell us about what you're hoping for and why you're doing what you're doing.
You know, 7 million men went to Promise Keepers in the 90s.
Wow.
7 million. And do you know that 40% of the tickets that were bought by women to send their husbands and kids?
I'm not surprised.
Every Man's Battle surprised. Workshop, over half the guys that come there come because of wives made it happen.
We buy for a longing. We longing and we believe in you guys. Mm. We just want you to get there.
And men, I hope you hear that. I mean, how badly women are waiting for us to step up and act like men. And so we're not doing this. I'm not laying down my life for this. And I'll say, when we're successful, when we have 82,000 men in Dallas, and then we announce the one next year. And by the way, the date next year, we didn't choose it for this reason, but it's very key. It's between the Democrat and Republican conventions next year. So they're absolutely going to come after me with everything in them once we're successful. They're not going to allow a godly, humble, courageous men to get together without destroying whoever's trying to put it together.
Yeah.
So I'm not doing this to put a bunch of guys in a stadium. I'm doing this to start a movement or to give men permission to be men again and to go back to their wives and say, I'm going to be the husband that God says I'm supposed to be. I'm going to be the father that God says I'm supposed to be. So we're going to create a movement across this country, and it's going to be powerful and it's going to be amazing. And it's going to start next year. There's going to be a declaration that the men of God, we're going to start to get on our knees and pray and start to lead our families with humility and courage.
So if I want to be one of the first guys to buy tickets on August 1st, how do I do that?
There's actually, you can go to promisekeepers.org and register to reserve tickets. It's free. But what it does, we had so many guys that have been waiting for so long for us to get back to stadiums. We didn't want it to sell out before they had a chance to get tickets. So you can actually go to promisekeepers.org, register for free, and then reserve it up to a certain number of tickets.
Okay.
You're just registering the ability to buy them a day early.
Guys, it'll be worth an airplane trip to go see this. You don't have to be in Dallas to come to this event.
Yeah, we think half the people there will be from somewhere else.
Yeah, so, and I think it'll sell out quick. So,
and can I just give a shout out to our amazing family? You guys are so loyal. Would you all add Ken to your prayer list?
Amen.
Because we need to be praying for him. As I heard you, I also was listening with, you know, heavenly ears about, you know, the warfare that's going to be going on
and
against
my wife,
you.
That's the one that's hard. I think it's easier when you're the one being attacked. It's watching your spouse be attacked.
Yeah.
It's so
Amen.
Hard.
I know. So.
Well, let's go to a call. Let's talk to Eileen. Eileen's on line one. Eileen, thanks for calling. She listens in Philadelphia on WBYN out of Boyertown. Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm well. Thank you so much for taking my call. I feel very honored and blessed. Thank you.
You're welcome. How can we help you?
My question is this. My husband left almost 18 years ago, and we have a daughter who's almost 18. And I have forgiven him for leaving me for someone else. And what I'm struggling with now is trying to forgive him and the other women that he's had in his life since then, because I feel as if he puts our daughter second behind whoever the fiance or girlfriend du jour is. And he does exhibit what I believe is not a good example and a moral lifestyle example when he moves in a girlfriend who becomes a fiance for 2 years, and then that person, of course, that relationship doesn't last, and then there's another person, and, you know, that person sleeps over at his house, or he and my 17-year-old sleep over at that person, the new girlfriend's house. It's so frustrating to me.
So,
and I get mad at him, and I get mad at that other woman, and I need to learn. I was able to forgive him for the big betrayal, and I've remained true to our marriage vows, even though he divorced me. But I really struggle with the day-to-day things that he does now. I don't know how to forgive him for those things. I get mad, and I lose my cool, and I'm not a woman of dignity and grace when I have to deal with those kinds of things.
Well, first off, I am so glad you called. And I am incredibly sorry, Eileen, about almost two decades of heartache over your husband's sexual choices, right? And immorality in light of the affair you had, but truly his struggling with what I would say is a sex addiction, right? Because at this point he's divorced, but he is going through women like someone goes through boxes of Kleenex. But this is the hard thing. Well, yeah, he gets engaged, but he's not gone into another marriage. He's still living.
Oh, he did.
Okay.
He did. He married the woman he left me for, and then she decided after 10 years she didn't love him, and she divorced him. And
or maybe she had the same dilemma you had. Maybe she found out about he was going out on her. But let me say this.
I just need to tell you, I didn't leave him. He left me. I didn't leave him.
No, I know you didn't leave him. Did I say that?
Okay.
I don't know if you... I didn't
say
he left you. I mean, I didn't say you left him. He left you, right, for an affair. And
he did.
Exactly. This is my point. I don't think that the first thing I would do with you would be talking about forgiveness. Because I think the issue you're struggling with is feeling powerless and somewhat helpless over somebody else's reckless choices when it comes to your daughter. And that's a whole different issue. It's a whole different hurt.
Right. I agree.
Because the more we try to, even if it's in our mind's eye, it could be a wish and a long and a hope and a burning in your heart that he would have integrity or to put your daughter first. But really, he's not going to. And so we have to let go of that longing. We have to grieve what we want. And we have to begin to have conversations with our daughter asking, how are you with this? How's your heart? Because I think it's a betrayal for you, and it was a betrayal for your daughter, but it's almost like you're trying to shield your daughter from the same hurt that you're feeling. But he's hurting both of you. And so grieving, letting go of, crying a thousand tears around what you cannot control, is part of your path. You cannot control him, my dear.
No, I know. I know that.
And so,
and I have started to talk with her.
Good. And ask her questions, right? You don't want to put anything on her. You don't want to project her or talk smack about him, but you're just having an honest conversation about, how is this for you? Because you want her to pick a noble man. You want her to have this example that she's seen with her dad transformed by you being able to connect her to guys of integrity, to men of integrity. I think that's probably one of the biggest things she needs right now are some heroes in her world.
Yes.
Examples. Ken, you were talking offline. I imagine your husband, your ex-husband, probably didn't have a whole lot of guys in his life. And you were mentioning something on the break, Ken, and I just want to throw it to you for a thought for her.
Yeah, a couple thoughts. And first one is, we see that men who don't have friends that keep them accountable tend to get into trouble, because men, all people, we have different things we struggle with, different strengths, and when we bring them together, when men have friends, one of the worst things that women can do is to try to keep their husband from having friends. Why are you going hunting? Don't you want to be with me? Men need to be with me. But specifically to you, Eileen, I would just say there is such a thing as righteous indignation, righteous anger. And I think you're feeling that. And I don't know your heart, but don't feel bad about it. Your daughter has the right. All girls have a daughter have a right for their father to be their hero. And you see that he's not her hero. In fact, he's teaching her that women are objects to be used for his gratification. And so, man, just as we were talking about, just sit down with your daughter and ask her about those things and apologize and say, not all men are that way. And men, if you're listening, you can see the hurt and the heartache that comes when we don't do our God-given responsibilities and put our kids and our wives first before our sexual desires and everything else.
Eileen, I want to send you a copy of Sherry's book, Intimate Deception. And if you think, I also want to send you Rise of the Servant Kings. And maybe there's a way that you can get that to your ex, and he would take a read and maybe.
And have your daughter read it. That's the guy she wants to get.
That's right.
Said, we need to talk. She's asked me for the first time if I would consider myself a sex addict. You know, I thought it was just about admitting the things that I had done wrong. I never had a clue that it was about redeeming our story. You know, I thought it was just about coming clean on what I had done. I had no idea how to help her with her pain. She was a mess, I was a mess, and we got divorced. Going to EMB, surrounding myself with these other men, they accepted me for who I was and what I had done, but they challenged me to step up and do better. You know, they'll be around other men who are not just pointing the finger, but willing to get in and wade through it with them, you know, get in the trenches. They'll get hope from this workshop, take my sweet wife and my story. We were divorced, remarried, and on our way to what I think will be the sweetest years of our lives. You know, it's no longer simply about surviving. For the first time ever, you know, we're thriving, we're enjoying where we're at.
Hey, listen, if you're struggling, we want to see you at the workshop. Give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals. all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back, and we'll have time for at least one more call, and we're just going to jump to the phones. There's so many things I want to talk to you about, Ken, about your book. This is killing me, but these calls are too important. So let's go talk to Stacy. Stacy's on line 6 in State College, Pennsylvania. Listens on Sirius XM. Hi, Stacy. How can we help you?
Hi. I have a question. My husband is not saved, and he uses pornography. At this point, he feels like I'm pointing out his flaws, so I can't talk to him about it. He did go on a really disturbing site that was more about young women and abuse.
Yeah.
And I don't know what... I mean, I know I'm supposed to stay married because that's God's plan for me. But it's really hard.
Oh, sure it is.
Why don't you jump in first?
I don't...
Aww.
Make the point you talked to us about at the break.
Stacy, you have every right to make sure that you're safe and protected and that you worry about yourself. And I think one of the worst counseling that we give to women in your situation is, well, you just need to try harder. And there's not trying harder. The problem with pornography is it never gets a headache. It never says no. And you cannot be 500 different airbrushed women. And so you have the right to protect yourself. So stay married, and as we've talked about several times, be on your knees and pray for your husband's salvation and for that thing. But that does not mean that you cannot seek your self-respect. And I know we're not supposed to say that in Christian circles, but you have every right to demand that you're treated with respect by your husband. And if he's looking at that nonsense, he's just like about 80% of the other men in this world. You have the right to go after safety. And again, pour out yourself in prayer. I'm not saying, you know, do anything crazy, but I am saying you have the right to demand that you're treated with respect.
And you know what's interesting, and my heart breaks for you, Stacy, because I lived in the situation just like yours. And the porn was a gateway drug to many other things, prostitutes, affairs, and all that. So it is horrible for your relationship. But I want to tell you who's probably one of your biggest advocates. Jesus. You know why? He didn't tolerate it. In fact, he calls porn adultery. If a man even lusts in his heart to look upon her, that's serious. And I don't know why it is in our world today, in our churches, in our nation, why we aren't talking about what Jesus calls it. It's adultery of the heart. It's an affair of the mind. And it's harmful to relationships. We are not called to be married to stay with porn, a revolving door of porn in our homes. The reason he's putting it on you, pointing out his flaws, is because he doesn't want you to deal with it. And so we need to get him to every man's battle. And we need to, and so many of the women that have guys come to EMB, and we've had guys saved at EMB.
Yes, we have.
You know, so.
Well, we baptize guys there even.
Yeah. So I want to make sure to get you help, but I have some chapters in my book, Intimate Deception, Healing the Wounds of Sexual Betrayal, that are for you, because porn eats away at our self-respect. Porn eats away at our sense of control. Porn makes us feel powerless over that relationship, and it makes us feel like we're not enough, makes us feel dirty. And that is not who you are, my dear. You are a daughter of the Most High, and you deserve to be treated respectfully and lovingly, and that's not happening now.
Amen.
So we're here to help you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Stacy, I don't know if you can get him to Every Man's Battle, but it would be an amazing thing if he were to come. And we tell guys when they come, you can come, doesn't matter who you are. If you're Christian or not, that doesn't matter. Yeah, and we've had guys come that were Muslim. We've had guys come that were atheists. We've had guys come that were born-again believers that were a little bit too born-again, if there is such a thing.
Self-righteous, right? Yeah. Self-righteous, and I'm here with a bunch of guys, and I'm above all of you. I'm not that bad.
So
right?
If there's a way he would consider, if he wants to stay married and maybe you make that the condition, that might be something that gets him there. We've had guys that have taken that, women who've taken that step, and it worked. We'll pray for you, and we're going to send you, Sherry's book, Intimate Deception, and hopefully that's going to help you a lot. So we'll be praying for you too. Well, one more thing.
Let's talk about pornography real quick. For all of you out there watching, and we see more and more women addicted to pornography which is something I totally don't understand. But it doesn't do us any good to try to be clean on the outside if we're dirty on the inside.
Amen.
If you men out there, when you know you're a real man and you're walking with Christ, you ought to be looking at porn as something that. It is a horrific situation for some girl that would do this. Either she's already being sex trafficked, or she's doing it for $100 or $200 to do awful things for a bunch of perverted guys to look at. What brought a girl to that situation? And the people who are making those movies are not doing it because they're your buddies. They're doing it because they make money every time you click so they can exploit more women. Yeah. And so a godly man sees that situation and says, I want to run up there with a blanket and cover up this young lady and tell her about Jesus. She doesn't have to do this anymore. And if that's not your reaction, there's something wrong in your heart. If that's not your reaction, you're not walking with Christ. Hear me on this, guys. You do not love Jesus enough if you're able to look at pornography and be titillated by it. Unless and until you look at it as a horrific and disgusting thing that you need to rise up and do something about, you need to get to know Jesus Christ. You don't need to try harder. You need to get your eyes in the Word of God, and you need to start getting new holes in the ground. Because you've been praying so much for your family, for your kids, and starting to see women through the eyes of God who are his daughters and your sisters in Christ, not objects for your gratification.
Preach it, brother. Thank you.
I am here in tears. Thank you.
Ken, one of the things you say in your book is we're in a fight. Mm. Could maybe address that in the last minute or so here, a little bit about what that means. Why are we in a fight?
The Word of God is so full of warnings about Satan, about putting on our armor, about going out and fighting him. It says he's a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, and yet we in church, we don't even talk about him.
Right.
Or if we talk about him, it's sort of some weird, satanic possessing thing, or he's a liar. That's what he is. And he actually started attacking femininity before he started attacking masculinity. We don't honor strong women in our country anymore.
Well, now you know what he's doing. He's attacking both sides because androgyny and looking androgynous is the new buzz thing out there, right?
Yeah, let's talk about that real quickly. That's really important. In Genesis 1 through 4, we are given the very foundation of creation. And we are given male and female were created in God's image. So we know God's image is a man and a woman together, fully masculine and fully feminine. That's who God is. The next thing is marriage that comes from that. They two become one flesh. And how do they become one flesh? Through sex. That's how a man and a woman become one flesh. It's a very precious thing. And then what's the thing that comes from that in Genesis 4? Procreation, kids. Satan is going exactly after the very foundation of who we are. And he started a long time ago with abortion. Abortion, he went after procreation. He's murdered kids. And what did the church do? Except for a couple of heroes like Randy Alcorn, it didn't do a whole lot. Maybe it jumped up and down and it didn't do anything. Then Satan went after marriage. And that, 2001, was the first marriage in the Netherlands the first time in the history of the world where we honored homosexual marriage. And the last thing was now, very quickly, after going after marriage, now he's going after gender, the male and female roles.
Yeah. We got a battle on our hands, and
we
here
do.
At New Life are wanting to turn the tides, and thank you for being part of that through Promise Keepers event.
We are so glad you're here. I hope we can have you back.
I vote for that.
Full board. We didn't get to them all, and we'd like to do this again. I hope we can do it. So thank you. Rise of the Servant Kings, promisekeepers.org if you want to order your pre-tickets.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.